the fact that 2 weeks ago I was in a highly secured data center in the middle of a very cold, snowy place, pulling Lotus Notes emails from 2006.
Lotus Notes.
That anyone is doing that is probably shocking to people. And that particular customer has over 1 million tapes, right?
Hold on. Yeah, a million tapes?
Tapes. They had the biggest, the most secure, and the biggest gym track facility that I had ever seen. Like, it was almost like a football field size data center that only held gym tracks.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Data Protection Gumbo. And today we are joined by Mr. Backup himself, W. Curtis Preston. We're going to have a enthusiastic and I'm sure we're going to have a great conversation around freedom, right? And libertas and all the good things around freeing your backups and just having a straight up conversation that's going to kind of maybe get you thinking here. So, Curtis, welcome to the Gumbo. How are you?
I'm great. Always happy to be here.
All right. So give us a nice plug about yourself for those that do not already know who you are.
Well, 30 years ago, I was unable to restore an Oracle database that was really important. And that began my career in backup. Literally, I don't know, 6 months into my career in backup. That moment sort of put me on a path of like, I'm going to dedicate myself to learning everything I can about backup and recovery, and that would never happen. That would never again happen to me. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I'm one of the weird, you're one of the only people I know other than me, you, me, and Dave Russell, maybe of people that have had a career centrally focused on backup. Right.
Yeah.
So I've written O'Reilly's books on backup. I host the Backup Wrap Up, another podcast, and I'm now the technical evangelist at S2 Data. Oh, there he is. Yeah, there's my latest book.
See,
I'm working on a new book that is about responding to and recovering from ransomware.
Ah.
So that's going to be a good one, I think.
Okay. Well, welcome back to the show. I'm sure we we've had you on a couple of times before, but I want to talk to you about reading backup data and just why you think it's important today to be able to read the data, especially from backups nowadays. And you mentioned ransomware a little bit earlier, but I'll let you set us up for why you think this is important.
One of the challenges that I think that we have, you know, when we look at people's backup data, they often hold on to it probably longer than they should. We want them to have a retention period that is dictated by business, that is dictated by regulations. Don't keep your backups for 20 years just because you want to. And I also tell people, if you've got a five or 10 year retention requirement, that's not actually what backup was designed to do, right? It's designed to restore the servers the way that they looked yesterday, maybe to restore a database from a couple of weeks ago, but it's not designed to show me all the emails that Curtis wrote back in 2005, right? And if that's the reason that you're holding onto your backups, one of the challenges that people have is that they then end up being tied, financially tied, both technically and financially tied to the company that they paid to create those backups. And that's fine if, let's say, you never change backup companies. But as we know, people often change their backup more often, perhaps, than they should.
Or they have multiple backup solutions, right?
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say that. I did a survey on LinkedIn a couple of months ago where I asked people the number of backup products that they had. And that was like 15% that had four or more backups.
Right? I believe it.
There were two was the most common answer. One was about the same number as four or more. And then three or four, it was literally, it's like 35%, I think, had three or more. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so you have that problem, right? And what ends up happening is they're no longer making new backups on product X. And they have this new product that they're now making all the new backups on, but they're keeping product X around and all of the costs that go with that. They're typically still paying maintenance and annual software fees and everything for that product. And the only reason they're doing that is so that they can continue to read those products or those backups.
And there's also some cases as well. There may be an acquisition, a merger. One company has acquired another, and it just depends on what type of technology they've had, right? And they may still have infrastructure, lots of backups on tape, right? Because as much as we want to get away from tape, it's still a very prevalent conversation that we are having today because it's low cost and very great way to have that extra strategy around security and your data is offsite and it's offline, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, there are multiple reasons why I could see, you know, customers would have, not customers, but but companies would have multiple different vendors, right? And are you seeing, since you put that survey out, did they also tell you where they're storing their data, whether that data is on-prem or it's in the cloud or it's in multiple clouds?
Yeah, I didn't get that data in that actual survey. What I am seeing is there's still a good mix, right? There's still a good mix of, I think most newer backups are probably be done in and to the cloud, but there is a whole smattering of other backups that are still being made on-prem. And there's plenty of reasons for them to be done on-prem, right? The cloud is amazing. And it does a lot of wonderful things. It is not perfect and it's not for everybody. So there's still a lot of people doing backups to on-prem infrastructure. And there's a lot of them that are, you alluded to it, there's even been a slight, I'll say slight, resurgence of interest in tape because of ransomware. The idea that tape is, that it's offline and inert and whatnot. There's been a slight increase in specifically in the backup world for tape.
Okay. And let's say someone has data in different formats, right? They have data in tape and they have data stored in the cloud. They have it stored in multiple locations. What's the top challenge that you're seeing when it comes to being able to read that data or rehydrate that data or get that data back to a state where you can actually take advantage of it, right? And that's recovery.
Yeah. I'd say there's three challenges. One is we've already mentioned it, and that is just the fact that in order to do that, they often have to continue paying for the product, right? Which is difficult given the budget pressures that the IT department is often under, and especially data protection is often under pressure to reduce costs. So that's the first one that they're the challenge that they're going to have. The second challenge they're going to have is whether or not they have, when we start talking about tape, whether or not they're going to have the appropriate tape drive to be able to read that particular tape.
Yeah.
Right. And because let's face it, there are quite a bit of tapes out there that are on formats that people are no longer using. Even if we're talking about LTO, you're using LTO 9 at this point, but you've got backups on LTO 4 and you can't read an LTO 4 tape and an LTO known drive, right? So that's the second one, is just availability of that infrastructure to be able to do it. And then the third is going to be expertise, whether or not you have somebody that understands how to actually do that older format, right? Because let's face it, there are dozens of them out there, and they're not always the easiest products to understand and to use, right?
Yeah. Are there any compliance regulations? And I can't think of any. I'm trying to remember if there are any compliance regulations around storing data on a certain type of media and having that media. And the first thing that comes to mind is Sarbanes-Oxley, right? SOX,
yeah.
Which is old.
Yeah,
it's been around for a while. And I'm not even sure if companies are still, because I remember when that used to be the thing, right? Back in, I think it was 2012 or 2008.
Yeah.
Elliot Spitzer, New York Attorney General.
Yeah. Wow, there's a name I haven't heard in a while. Yeah.
They were cracking down heavy on storing 7 years or 10 years on worm media, et cetera. Are you seeing any new regulations or anything that the audience should be aware of just around those types of compliance challenges?
Generally, they don't specify certain types of media. They mm-hmm. might, like, for example, organization or regulations like GDPR or CCPA, they're like, if you have this data, you have to store it in a way that you're protecting the privacy,
right,
and the integrity of that data, right? If you're going to store it, it can't be easily stolen, it can't be easily modified,
mm-hmm.
And you need to be able to get it back when you need it, right? That's generally the regulations tend to be kind of higher level in that regard. And I can't think of any that specifically state it has to be on tape or it has to be on worm. I've seen them where they'll say an example would be to encrypt the data or an example would be to use worm media, right? But I'm not, certainly not aware of any that specifically state that you have to do this or that.
Anything fun or interesting that you're working on just overall from a tape perspective? Because I know you are in that space today. Anything that you think the audience would be really shocked by?
Well, shocked, I might not be the word that I...
Let's do it. Come on.
I mean, it is funny. Some of the things that we end up doing as a company are often shocking to people, right? The fact that 2 weeks ago I was in a highly secured data center in the middle of a very cold, snowy place, pulling Lotus Notes emails from 2006, right?
Lotus Notes.
The fact that anyone is doing that is probably shocking to people, right? And that particular customer has over 1 million tapes, right?
Hold on. Yeah, a million tapes?
Tapes. They had the biggest, the most secure, and the biggest gym track facility that I had ever seen, right? Like it was almost like a football field size data center that only held gym tracks. And they were like 20 feet tall, 30 feet wide gym tracks that hold a few thousand tapes per. And this was all legal hold stuff, all stuff from that they were required to keep because of various lawsuits over the years, right? And that stuff might shock people, but in terms of what I'm working on that's like interesting, we have recently announced at the company that we've come out with this, speaking of being able to read older data, we come out with a tool called Libertas, which is just from the Latin word for free, that or freedom. And the idea is that it's specifically designed to be a customer-facing free tool that they can use to read their own backups, right? It's very basic in its functionality, like pointed at a backup image. Specifically, it's designed to work with NetBackup disk images, the version that we came out with. Pointed in a NetBackup disk image, and then it will interrogate that. You can either create a CSV of all of the contents of that image, or, and this is, even if it's multiplexed, although with NetBackup, disk images don't get multiplexed together, but even if it's an NDMP image, the various formats that NetBackup has written over the years, it will either create a CSV of everything that's in there, or you can basically restore all of the contents of that to some other directory, right? And the idea is, it's a, I'd call it a peek into the rest of the functionality of the company, right? Where we're able to read most common backup formats and most physical formats, right? Meaning we've got an incredible number, like literally like over 10,000 tape drives of various sorts that we're able to read. All of these, you know, the tapes I was using a couple weeks ago were 3570s and 9840s and T10K tape drives. These are drives that, you know, they've been dormant for a long time, right? But we have them and maintain them so that we can help customers read old tapes. But Libertas is a free tool that we offer for download from s2data.com that it just shows you that you don't have to be tied to the company that, you know, that created the backup image. You can't, there are ways to read backup data without continuing to pay the service fees of the company that, you know, especially if you're no longer using them, right?
Yeah, that's definitely good to know. Can we go back to this million tapes? Did they come to you for the requirement of maybe moving that data off or migrating that data off of those tapes, or
did this company did?
Yeah.
Do that? So they did not.
Okay.
But we do have companies that do that, right? So
okay.
The what's common, so we have a tool called Trax that's able to read, like I said, most common backup formats, even formats that people think are like really proprietary, like TSM, right? And we can extract all the data off of them without using the native tool. And even if they have tape-based encryption, right, we're able to basically fool the tape drive into thinking that we're, let's say, ArcServe or whatever, and give it the, we need the key, of course. We give it the key, the tape drive decrypts the data. What does happen is a company will come to us with a big pile of tapes, not a million tapes, but let's say they've got 5,000 tapes. And they go, we've got this pile of tapes. We really would like to get rid of them. We want you to take a look at them and see if there's any exchange on them, right? Can you just do a quick scan and tell us which of the tapes have exchange? And we're like, okay, we took a scan and out of the 5,000 tapes, 300 had exchange on them. And then they say, okay, can you extract the exchange databases off of those tapes? And then once you've done that, let's shred all of those tapes, right?
Okay.
Also possible is to migrate, you know, let's say a bunch of smaller tapes onto bigger tapes, right? We can do that. It's also possible to just basically restore it all in such, there have been some projects where basically the goal is to migrate the older backup data into the newer backup system. I would just say that is a lot of work. Mm. It's complicated. And the value proposition, I think, is very low. So most people don't end up doing that. Like, it sounds like a good idea.
To me, it doesn't.
Well, the good idea is let's get rid of it. Let's get rid of that older data. But if they have the belief that they want to keep the older data, for whatever reason, one idea is to, well, we're now paying these people. We should pay them for all the things. If we can move our product A into product B, that sounds awesome. Then we can get rid of product A. And it's possible. It's a lot of work and a lot of effort on our part, which then it translates into a lot of cost on their part. So they often don't end up doing what does happen a lot is, we prove to them that we can read all of their old stuff. We'll catalog it. We'll create a catalog that they can search at any time. And then we do on-demand restores from that older stuff. And if it's tape, we can actually move the tapes. Actually, we have a secure vault. We have a former bank vault in Atlanta that we have modernized and made compliant for media storage. And we can actually take in their tapes. So they can go to our online searchable platform, which is called Enveneer, search the stuff that they want. And they go, we need to restore this file. And then Enveneer gives us the instructions that we need to give to our tool to know which tape to restore it off of. So, okay. But what is common is the idea of, I got this big pile of tapes and I'm not sure which tapes have what. I want to keep this one thing. If you can tell me which tapes that's on, I can easily shred all the, I have legally defensible shredding, right? That can happen, right?
Okay. And are you guys utilizing artificial intelligence, or maybe what are your thoughts on backup vendors with all these different types of AI tools, hype or relevant?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The episode, the backup wrap up that I just published this past week was on the use of AI in backup products.
Okay.
I think there's sort of two main areas where the AI hype is semi-real. One is in the use of AI and similar technologies to help configure the backups, right?
Yep.
It's a lot of work to take a large environment and to create it into backup policies and to balance them out. When are we going to do full backups and things like that? Because even though a lot of products are now incremental forever, you still need to do full backups for things like databases and stuff like that. The use AI to just sort of figure all that out, just make it all happen.
Yeah.
I can think of one backup product that I like the way they do where you just tell it what your RPO and RTO are and they figure it out, right? I like that. The next one, and this is probably the one that's the closest to like the tip of the spear, and that is the use of AI to detect a ransomware attack, right? To detect that someone has encrypted a bunch of data and to then take action as a result of that, to quarantine things, to stop things, et cetera. I will say what I often say in that case, if the reason you know you have a ransomware attack is that your backup product told you, there were all kinds of failures along the way. But still, yeah. That doesn't mean that they shouldn't add that functionality to it.
Yeah.
And then finally, I'll just say most of the AI, the actual generative AI that I've seen using backup products is in like talking to the backup product, right? Hey, yeah. I need you to do this. And it'll go, right. Oh, I can do that. And that is, it's a little gimmicky, but it is what it is.
Yeah, you got to have some gimmick and marketing stuff in there, right? In order to make it shiny so everyone could click and call and say, hey, what is this?
Yeah.
But I appreciate you coming on and sharing all of that information. I think it's a well-needed conversation that we have to have today, because it's not something that you talk about every day, right? You talk about data, especially data that's been around for some time on tape, and you want to know what to do with it. You want to know how to make it active, how to recover from it, or even know what exactly is on that piece of media. So I appreciate you and S2 Data over there doing some of the work that not others may not want to do as well.
And I know our CEO likes to say we specialize in the data that everybody else is trying to forget.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. And any shout outs or anything you'd like the Gumbo audience to do or take a look at before we end here?
I would just say, fellow podcaster, check out the Backup Wrap-Up. It's just dedicated to the underappreciated backup admins, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And Curtis, I appreciate you taking time out of your day to be a guest here on Data Protection Gumbo. And before I let everyone go, please do check us out on YouTube. Now, we're trying to grow our YouTube channel because we started a little late, but check us out. We're at Data Protection Gumbo on YouTube, uploading tons of videos and even some that are not quite conversations with guests. But once again, thank you for being a guest right here on Data Protection Gumbo.